All right, thank you so much for being here, and thank you, of course, to Pastor Matt and Bessie, what a great solo, and our worship team, our praise team, our media team, what a great time of worship so far. And if you are one that follows along in your Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 118 today. You've already heard it. Tucker has already quoted it, but we're going to be sharing that today. As Matt mentioned, we're in a series called Refocus, What Really Matters. And Pastor Jesse has already preached two tremendous and timely messages in this series, and we're so appreciative of them, and I love to hear Pastor Jesse. And you know, I always kind of tell people, you know, I listen to a lot of preaching, and I've got several favorite preachers in the world, and some are well known, but some of my favorite preachers in the world, Pastor Jesse is, you're in my top five, brother. I just want you to know that. My father-in-law is my favorite preacher in the world. Pastor Steve, you're number two on my list, okay? I just want you to know. But anyway, I've Pastor Jesse, you're up there as well, and tremendous messages. You can't save time in a bottle. And you may recognize that title, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But just one verse or text to build on today. And again, Tucker's already quoted it. Psalm 118 in verse 24 says this: "This is the day the Lord has made." And it is a great day indeed, isn't it? "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And so I want to share with you today the importance of time, specifically the importance of today, the value of today. In fact, I think I'm going to be able to show you from the text and some supporting scriptures that today might be the most important day of your life. In fact, today, I believe, is the most valuable day of your life and of my life. Let me start by telling you a quick little story. My granddaddy, who I admired very much, he's been in heaven for over 30 years now, but my granddaddy was born in rural South Alabama during the Great Depression. And my granny and granddaddy, they never had much money, but granddaddy was a hard worker. They had a large family, and I remember lots of little things about my granddaddy from when I was little, and I loved to spend time with him and my granny. And granddaddy was a hard worker, and I always remember that granddaddy, he was always working and tinkering, you know, like old men do, right? And he always had work pants on. I never seen him with a pair of jeans or a pair of shorts. He always had some Dickies or some kind of Carhartts or some kind of work pants, right? And he always had a pocket full of change. I remember that about my granddaddy. He smoked a pipe. I remember that smell distinctly. And granddaddy always had a pocket knife. And, you know, from the time I was very young, I realized that, you know, if you want to be a real man, you got to carry a pocket knife, okay? So some of you guys, you need to probably go get you a pocket knife if you want to be a real man, I'm just saying. But another thing I remember about my granddaddy is this. He never had much money, but whenever he would, and it was kind of legend in the family, but whenever he would save up a little extra money, he'd get a little extra money, he would put it in a mason jar. And, you know, the word is that granddaddy would have these mason jars with cash money in it, and he would go out and he would, like, hide these mason jars where nobody could find them. And he even buried them, some people said. And I remember one time when I was a little kid, granny needed, her car went out, it died, and granddaddy needed to buy her another car. And he went out in the backyard or behind the shed or under the house or somewhere, and he dug up an old mason jar with cash, and he went and bought her a car. I remember that. That's how he saved his money, I guess. I don't know. Well, anyway, the reason I told you that little story may be a little obvious. You know, you can save money. I mean, you might save your money in a mason jar. You might save your money in a sock drawer. You might save it in the bank. I don't know. You might save it in a bottle. But you can save money. But listen, you can't save time. Money's kind of unique. We all have different amounts of it. I mean, some people are wealthy and some people are struggling and some people are somewhere in the middle. But when it comes to time, when it comes to today, you know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. I mean, the rich man has 24 hours and the poor man has that same 24 hours in a day. We have 24 hours, but we only have 24 hours. So yes, every hour, every minute, every second of every day counts, and it's valuable because, listen, when it's gone, right? Now, again, you might recognize the title of this, this message today, especially if you're an old rocker or an old hippie, you know. You can't save time in a bottle. Rock folk singer, that was a guy that was popular in the late 60s and early 70s, was a guy named Jim Croce. Anybody ever heard of Jim Croce? Yeah, many of you. Jim Croce sang songs like Bad, Bad Leroy Brown and You Don't Mess Around With Jim. I always like that one, you know. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I like that song. Well, he wrote another song called Time in a Bottle. And he wrote that song after his wife told him that she was pregnant with their son. And he had been evidently spending so much time concentrating on his career and on the road, he wrote that song. And the song seems to deal with mortality and the desire to have more time. In fact, I like the lyrics so much, I put them on the screen for you. The lyrics to Time in a Bottle. If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then, again, I would spend it with you. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, if I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do. Once you find them, I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. If I could just save time in a bottle. But you can't save time in a bottle. You know, just a few short months after Jim Croce wrote that song, he died tragically in a plane crash, and he was just 30 years old. You see, I'm afraid, as many people, as we get older, we begin to have regrets about how we spent our time. You know, when you're young, you think you have all the time in the world. But when you get old, you realize that there's just not enough time. There's so many things you want to do and so many things you want to say, but you just ran out of time. You know, as time slips away, you begin to realize that you and I only have so much time. And you can't save time in a bottle. Again, another one of my favorite preachers is James Merritt. Some of you know James Merritt, Touching Lives. James Merritt said this, and I don't know if it was original with him, but I heard it from him, so I'll give him the credit. Look on the screen. James Merritt said this, "The most important use of your time is to spend your time on what's most important." And that's true, isn't it? The psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Very quickly this morning, I'm a very simple-minded preacher. You know that about me already in the short time I've been here. But I want to share with you three very simple truths from this verse, from this passage, and from some supporting passages as well about the importance and the value of today, okay? They're very simple. They're very basic. If you take notes, I'd invite you to do that. On the back of your worship bulletin, we've already started an outline for you. You can just take and fill that in, and I would ask you to do that if you can. But three very simple truths, okay? You ready? Number one is this. Today is valuable, number one, because God made today. God made this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Who made this day? The Lord made this day. And listen, anything that God makes, God made this day. And anything that God makes is valuable. God made you, and you are of infinite value to God. And God made this day. Psalm 90 and verse 12, write it down. The psalmist said this to God, "Teach us to number our days. Teach us to count our days. Teach us to number our days that we might have a heart of wisdom." And so what that basically saying there is that God is saying to us that every day is so precious and every day is so valuable that we should count our days. We should number our days. Just like money is valuable, and you probably know how much money you have, right? Our days are so much more valuable, and we should number our days. Listen, church, we only have so many days, and so each one of the days that we have to live on this earth are so very valuable, and they are gifts from God. That's why the psalmist said, "Teach us to number our days." You think about numbering our days and how we count our days. You know, we count up our days, don't we? Maybe God counts our days or numbers our days different, but we count up. For instance, when we're born, we begin to count upwards. We're 1 year old, we're 10 years old, we're 13 years old, you know, you become a teenager. You're 16 years old, you get to start driving. You're 18 years old, you're legally an adult. You're 21 years old, and I don't know what happens when you're 21, but it can't be good. And you're 30 years old, and then you're 50 years old, and then you're 60 years old, you're 80 years old, and we count up our days. But maybe God counts our days or numbers our days differently. Now, I'm going to give you a little picture of my life, and I'll show you this on the screen, okay? I'm 51 years old. I know you don't believe that. I don't look near that old. But hey, I'm 51 years old. And I figured it up this week. I have been alive on this earth. Now, I was alive 9 months before I was born, you understand. But I've been, since the day I was born, I've been on this earth 18,983 days. And you know, the average lifespan in North America is somewhere around 75 or 80 years, right? Somewhere around there. Maybe a little more for women, a little less for men. But I've been alive 18,983 days. And if I were to live to be 80 years old, that's a big if. I don't know. There's no promises. I may live longer or I may not live that long. But if I made it to 80 years old, that means I will have lived somewhere around 29,000 days. So my life basically is about two-thirds over if I live to be 80 years old, because I've only got around 10,000 days left. Does that make sense? So listen, we should number our days. You know why? Because our days are numbered. You see that? I mean, think about this, and I know that you will agree. The days just keep flying by, don't they? And they never stop. Sometimes you could wish you could slow the days down and slow down the countdown, so to speak. But before you know it, it's like, where did all the years go? You see, time is so valuable. Every year, every month, every week, every day, every hour, every minute, every second is so valuable. And today, then, is the most valuable day that you have. This is the day that the Lord has made. So treasure today. Today is valuable. Today is precious. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Let me say that again. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Write down Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. It says this: don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't put off until tomorrow what you know you should do today, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't procrastinate, or I promise you'll regret it. James chapter 4 and verse 14, you know that verse. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is a vapor. It's like a mist that vanishes, that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Listen, today will be gone before you know it. Today is the most valuable day. Are you still with me? Amen? Listen, treasure today. Value today. Don't put off until tomorrow what you know you should do today. You see, we have a little saying in our culture. With our busy and cluttered lives, we've kind of developed this little saying, and see if you know what I'm talking about. The saying is this: time is money. You ever heard that? I've said it many times. Time is money. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not true. That's just not true. Time is time and money is money, but that's not true, because the fact of the matter is time is so much more valuable than money. Time is much more valuable than money. You know what? It might be hard to do, but you can always make more money. I mean, it can be done, right? It can be. It might be hard to do. But you know that it is totally impossible to make more time. Get that? It's totally impossible to make more time. The great A.W. Tozer said this. Look on the screen. Time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You can't store time up. You can't slow it up. You can't hold it up. You can't divide it up. You can't give it up. You can't hoard it up. You can't save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it is unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember, time has no resurrection. So listen, church, we should treasure today. We should treasure today as the most valuable asset that we are given. Again, time is not money. Time is much more valuable than money. And that's why you can't manage time, and you can't delay time, and you can't speed time up, and you can't borrow time, you can't buy more time, you can't find more time, and you can't save time in a bottle. This is the day the Lord has made. God made this day, and that's why you got to make today count. That's why you got to put all of your energy and all of your effort into the day. Today is the most valuable day that you have. Today is valuable. Number one, because God made today. Number two, today is valuable because God gave you today. God gave you this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Listen, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Who will rejoice in today? We will rejoice. We are the beneficiaries of this day. God gave you this day. Not only did God make this day, God gave this day to you. Today, listen, is a gift from God. And you and I need to look at it like that every day. Every day is a gift from God. So think about it for a minute. What do you really have? What do you really have? I mean, you don't have yesterday because it's gone. I mean, yesterday, it's in the past, right? So you don't have yesterday. And we've already said that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So if you don't have yesterday and you're not guaranteed tomorrow, what do you really have? You have today, right? Somebody said it like this. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we really have is today. So are you going to make the best use of your time today? Today is a precious gift from God. You know, today might be a good day. Or it might be a bad day. It might be a sunny day, or it might be a rainy day. It might be a bright day. It might be a dark day. It might be a happy day, or it might be a sad day. But today is a God-given day, and today is a God-created day. Today, church, is a gift from God. God gave you this day. Let me tell you something. God woke you up this morning. That's the truth of the matter. I don't know. Listen, I deserve to die in my sleep last night because of my sin and my rebellion against God. But God woke me up this day. God woke you up this day. Jeremiah said that God's mercies are new every morning. Listen, you and I didn't deserve to even breathe the breath of life today, but God loves you so much. God doesn't owe you anything, but he loves you so much. And the Bible says that you and I are sinners and we've rebelled against God and we turned our back on God and because of our sin. And God doesn't owe you anything, but you know what? God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And listen, in his grace and in his mercy, he gave you this day to live for him and this day to love him and this day to serve him. What do we call today? I mean, yesterday is in the past, right? And tomorrow is the future. So today is the what? The present. And it is appropriately named the present. Because what do you think of when you think of a present? A gift, right? Every day, church, is a gift from God. Every day is a gift that God has put under the tree of your life. And listen, when you got up today, you know what the first thing you should have said? You should have just thanked God for waking you up today. You and I should have just praised God the first thing. God, thank you for giving me this new day. That's the first thing that we should have said this morning. But you know what most of us probably said this morning, or at least some of us? We got up this morning and we said, you know what? It's Sunday. I got to go to church. Yeah. Let me remind you of something. You don't got to go anywhere. And you don't got to go to church. My friend, you get to go to church. And not only is this a special day that the Lord has made and God has given you the gift of the day, this is the Lord's day, right? This is the day that we get to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and we get to lift up and magnify and worship Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is worthy. He is worthy. God made this day, and this is the Lord's day. What a special day it is. God gave you this day. Thank God for this day. Paul talked about this, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16. Paul said this, look at this. He said, look carefully how you walk. Let me just stop right there. He didn't say, look carefully how you walked yesterday. He didn't say, look carefully how you walk as in tomorrow, you will walk. He said, look carefully how you walk as in today. Not as unwise, but as wise. Be smart. Look, make the best use of your time. Today is a gift from God. How many of you ever heard of a football coach named Paul Bear Bryant? Anybody ever heard of Bear Bryant? Yeah. In my opinion, Bear Bryant was the greatest college football coach there ever was. And he coached Alabama, the University of Alabama, from 1958 to 1982. Bear Bryant won 6 national championships, 12 SEC championships, and when he retired, he had 323 wins, which was the most at that time of any coach in history. And what a lot of people don't know is that Bear Bryant actually used to coach the University of Kentucky. Did anybody know that? You know, in 1950, Bear Bryant led Kentucky to their one and only SEC championship, the only one they've ever won, and the only one they ever will win. But yeah, Bear Bryant did that. So after the 1982 season, Bear Bryant retired, and he died just 4 weeks later. And after his funeral, his wife was going through his wallet, and she found this little note that had been faded and worn out and folded and unfolded many times. And it was said that Bear Bryant would reach into his wallet every day and pull out this paper and read this little note. And I thought it was so good. Again, I'll put it on the screen for you. Look at it. He said this: "This is the beginning of a new day. God has given it to me to use as I will. I can waste it or I can use it for good. What I do today is very important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place that I have traded for it. I want it to be for gain, not for loss. I want it to be for good, not for evil. I want it to be success for success, not for failure, in order that I should not forget the price that was paid for it. Today is valuable because it is a special gift from God. Today is the most important, precious, valuable day that you and I have. It's valuable because God made it. It's valuable because God gave it to you. And third and lastly, today is valuable because, listen, it'll be gone before you know it. Today will be gone before you know it. This is the day." What did the psalmist say? "This is the day the Lord has made." Now, I'm looking at the clock on the wall, just like some of y'all are looking at your watches and to see if I'm going to get done on time today, right? But I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and it says that it is 10:32. Is that right? 10:32. In just a few short hours, you're going to lay down in your bed, and you're going to go to sleep. And this day will be over, right? And you may look back and reflect on this day, and I just want you to know that you can't go back and relive this day over again. I mean, there may be things that you would want to change about today, but when tomorrow comes, you're not going to be able to go back and change anything about this day. And you're not going to be able to go back and correct any mistakes that you made today. And you're definitely not going to be able to go back and make up for all the time today that you wasted. Don't waste today, because you'll never, ever get it back. It's just too valuable to waste. Now, I want you to think about your life and think about all the time in your life that you've wasted, all the days that you've wasted not serving the Lord, okay? You know, again, I'm 51 years old, and I don't regard myself as old at all. I really don't. I mean, sometimes when I get up in the morning, my back hurts, my head hurts, my neck hurts and all that, and my knees hurt, but I get that. But outside of that, I don't regard myself as old. And I hope I have plenty of years left, but it's sometimes scary when I think about my life and I think about my 51 years and I start to look back. And to be honest, I think about how I've wasted so much precious time on things that don't matter when it comes to eternity. Temporal things, fleshly things that don't matter, selfish things, right? I think about all the time I've wasted not loving my family as well as I should. Oh, I love my family just like you do, but perhaps I could have loved them even better. And then, you know, perhaps saddest of all, I think about all the time in my life that I've spent not serving the Lord as well as I should. And listen, that's coming from someone who's been in vocational ministry for over 20 years. All that time I've spent not serving the Lord as well as I should. There's a verse that convicts me, and it haunts me, really. And I want to share it with you because I want it to convict you, and I want it to haunt you because I don't want to be the only one in the room, right? So, James chapter 4, verse 17 says this: "To him that knows to do good but doesn't do it, to him it is sin." I know that it is a sin for me to waste time not loving my family well, not leading my family well. It's a sin for me to waste time not serving the Lord. It's just a sin to waste time on things that have, listen, no eternal significance. Remember, the most important use of your time is to spend your time on what's most important. So let me ask you, church, what's most important to you? I mean, what is it in your life that's most important to you? Is it your career? Is it making money? Is it material things or fleshly things or pleasure-filled things or self-gratification? Listen, I'm not saying that any of that's wrong. I don't know. I'm just saying, do we waste time on things that are temporary that you can't take with you? Do we waste time? And I believe we do. We waste so much time on things that have no eternal value and no eternal significance. There was a guy in the Old Testament named King Solomon. You know King Solomon. Do you know King Solomon was the richest man who ever lived? I mean, he had everything. He had it all. You think about some of these wealthy elitist types like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Well, if you take all their net worth and put it together, King Solomon was richer than all those guys put together. That's how rich he was. And you know, King Solomon tried everything. He had every pleasure this world could offer. And at the end of it, you know what he said? He looked at it all and he looked at his life and he said this. He said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It was empty and it was meaningless. You see, King Solomon realized something that you and I need to realize at some point in our lives. All these things that we're talking about, maybe they're good, maybe they're, I don't know. But they can't satisfy a soul that was meant to serve God. That's where we get our greatest satisfaction in life as a child of God is serving the Lord. Listen, you and I have got this void in our heart that only God can fill. And we can fill it up with all kind of worldly things and all kind of fleshly things. And it doesn't matter. It'll never satisfy a soul that was meant for God. Never forget that. Never forget that. I guess as I get older, I start to realize that, you know, I don't know, now more than ever really, that time is just so short. And your life, like James said, is like a mist. It's like a vapor. It's going to be here for a little while and then it'll be gone. That's why the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we don't know how many more days we have left. Write down Psalm 90 and verse 10. Psalm 90 and verse 10. It's a great verse. It says, the days of our lives are 70 years, 80 if we have enough strength. And it's true, isn't it? You know, we were talking about earlier that the average lifespan in North America is somewhere around 70 or 80 years. Well, the Bible told us that thousands of years ago, right? That's how good the Bible is. But, you know, and that just means that some people live 70 or 80, 90 years. That's pretty average. You know, if you can avoid any serious illness or tragedy or something like that, then that's great. You might live 70 or 80 or 80 years. Now, some people live way more than that. We've been fortunate to visit some shut-ins, homebound folks in our church. And I visited a lady a while back, Maddie Johnson. She's 94 years old. I visited this other lady. She used to be evidently a former secretary here. Her name was Juanita Myers, 97 years old. You know, I love sitting with her and talking with her. And then we went and visited this dear, sweet lady, Marie White. She's 104 years old. It was amazing. And I love sitting with these ladies. So you might live more, past 70 or 80 years old. Some of you are past that right now, you know. But we also know that many people also die much younger. Also, I gave you the math of my life earlier. Again, if I was to make it to 80 years old, I don't know that I will or I won't. But if I make it to 80 years old, that means I got around 10,000 days left, right? What about you? What about you? If you make it to 80 years old, how many days do you have left? Well, if you're 20 years old, you probably got somewhere around 18 or 20,000 days left. If you're 60 years old, you may only have 4, 5, 6, 7,000 days left. If you're 70 or 80 years old or older, well, then the Bible says that you've been blessed with great strength. The Lord has blessed you. But it also sounds like you're living on borrowed time a little bit too. I mean, I don't know. God's blessed you. That's all that matters. So in my mind, the point I'm trying to make is this. Every day I live is the most valuable day that I have. It truly is. Because time is short. Because life is short. You know, you can't reach down in a bottle and get today back. It'll be gone before you know it. That's why Paul said, make the best use of your time. So what are you waiting for, church? What are you waiting for? I mean, how much more time are you going to waste on things that don't matter when it comes to eternity. How many days, how many years, how many days are we going to waste on selfish things when we, you know what, when we could be loving the Lord and we could be serving the Lord, which is far better and far greater. Serving the Lord is the most soul-satisfying thing you could ever do. Well, I'm about to close, but let me just, in just the next 5 minutes, give you three very simple, basic things. And again, these are very general. Three very general, simple, basic things that you can do to make today count, to make this valuable day count. Number one is this. Fill in the blank there on your sheet. Love your family. Love your family. You say, well, I do love my family. Well, love them even more. Love them even more. Don't waste time. Don't waste days not spending time and loving your family as well as you can. You remember years ago, probably, I'll say it like this. I remember. The old people were right. I love old people. The old people were right because here they used to say things like this. When your kids are little, they say, you better love them because they'll grow up and they'll be grown before you know it. And they'll say, you better cherish your time because before you know it, these days will be gone. The years will be gone. Before you know it, you'll be my age. Well, you know what? They were right. They were right. My friend, time flies. Love your family. Don't waste time. And listen, you only have your kids. You only have your grandkids at home with you and in your circle of influence for a very short time. Don't waste that. Don't waste that. Love your family. Let me tell you the best way you can love your family. You can love your family by leading them and teaching them to love Jesus Christ with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and all their strength. That's the greatest way you can love your family, is teach them to love the Lord and spend quality time with them. Your spouse, your close friends, your parents, young people, your children, your loved ones. Christy and I celebrated last week our 32nd wedding anniversary. And you know, one thing that we realize is that we want to be together every single day. We just do. Because who knows how many days you have left. These days are so valuable. So listen, you want to make today count, really? Then love your family. Love your family and teach them how to love Jesus. Number two, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. You know, if you're here at Simpsonville Baptist Church, then I believe you're here for a reason. I believe God has led you here, and that's why you're here. And if God led you here, and I'm going to tell you something, this is, God wants to use you here. If God has led you to Simpsonville Baptist Church, then God wants to use you here. God wants you, and we need you. There's work to be done. We want to serve the Lord, and we want to serve each other, and we want to serve our community, and we want to serve the world. We want to share the love of Christ with people around us, and there's a ton of work that needs to be done, and we need all hands on deck when we're serving, and we need you. We need every single person serving the Lord here at Simpsonville Baptist Church. So listen, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for an invitation? Well, you got it. We need you. We need you. Don't listen. Maybe it's time that you just decide today, you know what? I'm just going to get off the sideline. I'm just going to start serving the Lord. I'm not going to hem-haw anymore. I'm going to quit straddling the fence. You know, listen, this is a place God has led you, then this is a place God would have you to serve. So just serve the Lord. It's the greatest work you could ever, ever do. We serve the Lord. We serve each other. We serve the church. We serve the community. And we serve the world by sharing the love of Christ and the life-changing gospel with those around us. Get on board with what God is doing. Just serve the Lord. And number three, and lastly, put Christ first today. Put Christ first today. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen to this statement. Now, I'm going to close in a minute, but listen to this statement. Every day you live that Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life is a completely wasted day. It just is. It just is. So let me challenge you today. Don't just give the Lord Jesus part of your day. Don't just give him, you know, this 1 or 2 hours every week. Let him be the Lord of your day. Let him be the very heart of your day. Let him be the foundation of your day. Let him be the glue that holds your day together. Love him well, church, because he is worthy. And every day, every moment you spend not walking with him is just simply a wasted day. So the most important day that you can walk with Jesus, the most important day that you can serve Jesus, the most important day that you can worship Jesus, that day is today. Today is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. And you, maybe you're here today and you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, but have you truly made him Lord of your life? Make him Lord of your life today. Put Christ first today. And my final word is for those that may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've been coming to church, active in church even, but you've never actually repented of your sin and put Jesus Christ, asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of that sin and accept his free gift of salvation in your life. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ today, I'm going to tell you something. Today is a very, very special day. God gave you this day. In fact, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to make a bold statement, but it's true. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the most important day that you've ever lived. Because you know what 2 Corinthians says? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. I got good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God in the flesh, he left the glory of heaven. He was born of a virgin. He lived that sinless life. He died on Calvary's cross as payment for your sins and for my sins. And he rose again that third day. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered hell itself so that you and I, by God's grace through faith, could have eternal life with him in heaven forever. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for you. You might say this. Jesus Christ is the one who took the time to leave heaven and come to this earth and die on the cross for your sins so that you and I could spend precious time with him today and eternity with him tomorrow. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Today you're here. Everyone that's here today, I believe, is here by divine appointment. I believe God led you here. We've already prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to be here, and I believe God is speaking to hearts today. What is God leading you to do today? I want you to examine your own heart here today, church. Every single person, what is God leading you to do today? Do you need to trust Christ as your Savior for the very first time? Do you need to answer his call in your life to trust him? Then do that today. In a moment, we're going to stand and I'm going to pray and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, a song of commitment, an invitation. And Pastor Steve's going to be standing right down here in the front, right here in the middle. And Pastor Jesse will be here and I'll be here. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't let today go. Don't let today pass. Just step out of the aisle, walk down this aisle, and you take one of our pastors by the hand and say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Do you need to do that today? You may be a church member. You may be coming to church for years, but you don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ, give your heart and life to him today. Answer his call. You know, if you're here today and you're saved, I know there's so many of you here today that you're saved, but you've not yet joined this church. Maybe God is leading you to do that. If God is leading you to do that, don't wait. Do it today. Come down here and tell one of our pastors that we want to unite with this church. Maybe you're saved and you've actually never been baptized, and you just come and make that commitment today and we'll get that scheduled for you. Or maybe you're here today and you just feel the call to get off the sideline. You know, in our kind of our day and time, we're talking a lot about revival nowadays, and that's the greatest need for the church is revival. Our country needs a spiritual awakening, but the church needs revival. Right? We need revival. Maybe it's time for you to just get off the sideline and come and say, you know what? I'm going to start serving the Lord and I'm praying for revival. Hey, listen, these altars are open. You don't even have to talk to any of us. Just come and pray at the altar. Maybe you got some unconfessed sin to deal with. This altar is open. My friend, God is here. If he's calling you, if the Holy Spirit is calling you today, don't miss this opportunity. Respond today. Give him your heart today. Make him Lord of your life today. He's knocking at your heart's door.
Let's stand.
Whatever
together.
Decision you need to make, do it today. Let's all stand together. Father, thank you for our time. May you bless this time of invitation. It's not ours, Lord, it's yours. In Jesus' name, amen.